The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that every their minds to understand Moses and in the prophets and psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, where to begin? It's we're in Easter. We're celebrating Easter. Okay, so this is the beginning. We're in Easter. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, right? And I've tried to say it. Okay, so I've thought perhaps I'm getting traction, perhaps not. I've tried to say it. You know, that God has blown a hole in the cosmos in the resurrection of Jesus, right? And I'm not quite getting the look that I'm expecting when I'm saying that. So today, you had me resort to the sprinkling, right? I got to come around and throw water in your face. You know, this is the way that we're going to become awake to the reality of the resurrection of Jesus, okay? It's like that, right? It's that shocking plus, right? It's that shocking times infinity. I know you can't time. Okay, so times a million. Okay, so the radical old power of the resurrection, the newness of the thing, and also the radical oldness of the thing, which we encounter in the gospel today, as Jesus is recounting for them the whole kind of scope of scripture to demonstrate that he's the fulfillment of the same. It's the radically old plan of God come to full fruition in Christ Jesus. And here he is on the scene. And I have to say, there are many promises that Jesus makes to his apostles. One of them, I think, is always kind of on the forefront of my mind, is that where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst, right? So he is also here in our midst. The resurrected Christ is in our midst. And maybe he's also asking us the question, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself." Like, he's in our midst. Do we have confidence that Jesus is in our midst? That the King of the Jews and Lord of all nations, and so rightful ruler of every human heart, is in our midst. And he's giving us not just direction, right, as our rightful Lord. Okay, Ron, you go over there, you do that. Martha, you go over there, and you do that. Okay, no, he's breathing his life into us. He's forgiving our sins so as to animate us for the plan and purpose of God. And of course, he's giving us guidance. Go there, do that. Don't go there, don't do that. Say that, don't say that. Are we listening? Are we even listening? Okay, so we're giving ourselves over to him. So I'm trying to set the wide picture frame, okay? The risen Lord is in our midst. Okay, and here again, another one of the three encounters of the risen Lord in the Gospel of Luke. We find Jesus here in their midst. They're recounting how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. Okay, great, yeah, because we're going to do it in a second. This is part of the point of our recount celebration of the Eucharist. Yeah, exactly. What is the breaking of bread? The breaking of the bread is the celebration of the Eucharist. Yeah, exactly right. You have to speak that loud, Moira. This is it. We're going to do it. We're going to do the thing in which Jesus is revealed to us. And we're going to eat and drink of his risen body and blood so as to live beyond the bounds of death, to live beyond the bounds of sin. Okay. I want to do this. I want to kind of draw in the whole plan of God. Okay. I'll do it quickly. It's a relatively abridged version. Okay. We have the five chapters. Yeah. We have creation, the fall. God doesn't sit back and do nothing about the fall, the fact that by our idolatry, we bring injustice into the world. Okay, chaos and confusion and the rest, that's us. We did that, okay? That's the fall. God calls Israel to be the answer to the fall. Israel was to be a people set apart to praise God, to worship him with everything they had for all his worth, and to pour themselves out in his service. That and this participation in the life of charity, the life of self-giving love, this life of ecstatic union with God and love for neighbor was supposed to renew the world. Okay, Jesus picks up that story in himself and he drives it to completion. We didn't necessarily know that he had what it did, and that's what it did aside in order to accomplish that feat. But that's what he did, and that's what it did, is that he brought that project back online and expanded it, opened it up so that you and I could step into it. Okay, so the idea then, right, is to be a people set apart, a people of people, particularly, say, given over to God in such manner that we could say, yeah, we're living holiness of life. We're living as best we can, ecstatic union with God. We're pouring ourselves out in his service, right? That mercy that is shown to us, just as it was shown to the apostles, it becomes active in us, such that everything we think and say and do, you know, every human activity and endeavor that we're a part of can be inspired and animated and sustained by charity. This is what moves the needle. This is what makes a difference, right? Are we very active people? Some of us are, some of us not. Some of us used to be, some of us aren't any longer. Okay, are we active people? We're, as Americans, we're just running around, right? They call it the rat race. Why do they call it the rat race? It's because rats could do it. You know, it's quick, it's fast, it's whatever, and it doesn't seem terribly productive when you look at it from outside, right? This we're all kind of caught up in that space. Yeah. So what of our activity matters? I'm not telling you to leave the rat race. I mean, I kind of am, but at least pray about it. Whatever. Okay, we'll figure it out after that. This is what the early church did. By the way, they gave themselves over to the plan and purpose of God, and then they figured it out as they went. We might need to do that as well. Okay, yeah. There you look at me. It's like the shock and awe of like, don't tell me to leave the rat race. Okay, yeah. So this is the what of our activity matters? What of your activity matters? It's the activity that is inspired and animated and sustained by charity. Now, you could do probably every activity of the rat race inspired, animated, and sustained by charity. But the things that you can't do inspired, animated, and sustained by charity, you probably shouldn't be doing. Okay? Now, if you think that's going to cause massive turmoil in your life, or I'm really falling off the cliff if I do that, we can talk about it and we can figure it out. Because then we'll be two gathered in the name of Jesus trying to make straight his path. Okay, so, but this is the challenge for us, right? How does the world get renewed? We see it. This is the point. The resurrection, okay, the resurrection, which for a first century Jew was something that happened at the end of the age, where lives of holiness and justice would be not only the norm, they'll be the only way that humans would live, in ecstatic union with God, in head over heels love of God, and pouring ourselves out for the good of the other. This is the life of the future age, when God will right every wrong and roll back in its entirety the rule of sin and death. Yeah, the great hope that we're living for has broken into the present in the resurrection of Jesus. He has started that end state of affairs. That's what the movement is intended to accomplish. We're supposed to be growing into that here and now. And we have to grow into it in every possible way, on a personal level, right? I have to give myself over to God, praise of God, I've got to worship him. He has to be the true center of my life. And then pour myself out in his service, because his purposes really are the only purposes that matter. They're the only things that's the only thing that endures, the plan and purpose of God. And so I'm going to give myself over to that in expectation and in anticipation of the age to come. It's a real participation now because the real Jesus exists now to breathe his life into your heart and to feed you, to nourish and sustain you with his own life of love made flesh for you. He's giving you his body and blood. Why is Jesus giving you his body and blood? So you could sit back on the couch and go, yeah, it's just, that was nice. Father Daniel's long-winded, but I feel better when I come out of there. Maybe, you know. I don't know that many of you feel better when you come out of here either, but that's not the point. The point is that you receive his body and blood so that you become his body and blood. Right? You receive his risen life so that you can live beyond death now and live for God, whole and entire, here and now. And then this is what it is, right? This is why he sends them out. He says, thus it is written, right? This is Jesus' summation of the scripture, which is very significant then for us. Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and the repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, right? You are witnesses, you are martyrs of these things, right? You are sent out to live the reality of these things. What is the reality? Repentance and a forgiveness of sins. Okay, repentance, we have to turn from our ways and we have to turn to God's way. Metanoia, we need a change of mind. A change of the news. We need a change of mind and turn to God and go his way. And that's in everything, by the way. Right? So that's in our every thought and word and deed. Our every thought and word and deed needs to be renewed. Because all too often we're just going our own way. We have to turn from our way and go God's way. And then the forgiveness of sins. We have to guarantee you the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, again, he's on the scene, right? He's making his appearances. He's doing the rounds. He's showing up. And he just keeps showing up. And here, Sunday after Sunday, he just keeps showing up. And guess what? Most of what you have to do is show up. That's what the relationship demands. He shows up, you show up. Okay, you give your heart, he gives his heart. Okay, you give everything, he gives everything. Really, it's the other way around. He gives everything, you give it, right? He's showing up, you're showing up. It's terribly significant. But then what has to happen? We have to be people who show up. We have to be people who show up. Not just here, but in the lives of people who need us to show up. Okay, and even there, I think we could probably identify any number of people whose lives would be improved if we showed up. Especially if we showed up as Jesus wearing our skin. You know, people's lives would be changed very, very quickly and powerfully and profoundly by the fact that Jesus was showing up. But that's our commission. Jesus is feeding us, nourishing and sustaining us with his life so that we can show up and be his presence for a world that so desperately needs it. Now, this is it. When we preach forgiveness of sins, okay, and when we live forgiveness of sins, we're, of course, living out our own forgiveness of sins, our own reconciliation with God, right? We are being forgiven. But then we have to be the forgiving people. And we have to show up everywhere where there needs to be forgiveness. And we have to go eager to forge those bonds of forgiving love. Because, again, this is the way that the world is renewed. This is the way that human beings are freed, and this is the way that the world is renewed. So we are made to be, okay, let me take it down a little bit so I can push out again, is this, love. Okay, we're made to be a people of great love. Yes, it's going to cost us. Good when it does, because then we know why we're doing it. We're not doing it for our own gain. We're doing it for the sake of God's call. Right? We are people of love, and when we give ourselves over to the cause of love, when we give ourselves over to God's cause, we can do the things that love can do, even the most difficult things, including forgive, and bring his forgiving love to life wherever it is we go, wherever it is he sends us. The world's got a lot of ills. We look around and go, oh, this is all manner of perversity and corruption and blah, blah, whatever you want to say. What is the answer? What is the antidote? What is the antidote? Someone say it. Love. Yeah. It's forgiving love. It's forgiving love. So wherever you see that problem, what it needs is forgiving love. I want to do something. I can't do anything about this. What it needs is forgiving love. And if you can't go out and apply it there, turn off the news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disconnect and go somewhere where you can apply it. Because when we start applying it where we are and in the sphere of influence that we have, God is going to create a tidal wave of love that sweeps across the face of the earth.